Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
As part of the orchestrated plan, we allege that 16 Michigan residents met covertly in the basement of Michigan GOP headquarters and knowingly, and of their own volition, signed their names to multiple certificates stating that they were the duly elected and qualified electors for president and vice president of the United States of America for the state of Michigan. That was a lie. They weren't the duly elected and qualified electors, and each of the defendants knew it. They carried out these actions with the hope and belief that the electoral votes of Michigan's 2020 election would be awarded to the candidate of their choosing, instead of the candidate that Michigan voters actually chose.
Yeah! Welcome to another episode of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. This time, I thought it would be right to allow our great Attorney General Dana Nessel to lead off this week's show, announcing how her office is charging 16 of those Michigan Republican fake electors with 8 felony counts. I'll talk more about that with my upcoming guest, Sam Inglot from Progress Michigan, in just a few moments, because I've got lots of other things I want to talk about here before I talk with Sam. I'm Pat Johnston in my comfy and cozy home studio, or otherwise known, as Jessica just said, my attic. This is the 46th episode, and I'd like to thank you for not only listening, but for using word of mouth to get me some more listens. For example, my guest last week, Progressive Democratic State Representative Betsy Kafia, shared the episode on her social media, and that not only got more people to listen, but it helps get the word out that there's a guy in Gratiot County bringing it each and every week, and will do his best to spotlight those bringing the progressive fight to Michigan politics. Not to mention, I bring my quarter century of experience in the corporate right-wing radio world to help explain not only why your crazy right-wing uncle thinks the way he does, but why, on top of good policy, progressives must do a better job at messaging. No, it's not going to win over every MAGA cult member, but it can win over independents, young people, and everyone else feeling that the political machine in Lansing and in D.C. never listens to them. For years, I think Democrats believed that institutions will save us. They believed being above the fray and ignoring the right-wing echo chamber was the best course of action. They believed in Mrs. Obama's mantra of, when they go low, we go high. And look, I love Michelle Obama and think that she's one of the best public servants that we've ever had in this country, but I disagreed with her strategy of never going low. Not that I'm saying that progressives need to sound like MAGA cult members. I mean, that's not who we are, because unlike them, we're able to put cognitive thoughts together. And we truly believe that government can help people to, as Representative Kafia said last week, lift all boats. However, and I'm not trying to sound like Michael J. Fox and the American president here, but for years, the right wing was doing all the talking. They talked and spewed outright hatred and lies, while Democrats thought that by looking like the stoic silent sages, they'd win. And time again, Democrats lost. Plus, the corporate media was more than glad to play along. Because in the end, remember, corporate media always received tax breaks. Now, maybe Democrats didn't lose as much in presidential races, but definitely in state races where real policies, impactful policies, affect voters in a faster way. But after a decade of Republican dominance in Michigan's legislature and the failure that was the Rick Snyder and the John Engler administrations, combined with the authoritarian extremism of the Donald Trump presidency, Michigan progressives did indeed fight back. Progressives began making the news in the state, and eventually Progressives in Michigan went viral across the country when Democratic State Senator Mallory McMorrow took to the Senate floor to denounce the despicable Republican State Senator Lana Theiss of Brighton, who accused McMorrow of being a quote-unquote groomer and supporting sexualizing kindergartners. Theiss also said that McMorrow wanted to blame 8-year-olds for slavery. Now, this was a year ago, and I know many of you have already heard it, but I would just like to play a portion of Senator McMorrow's speech that day, which, again, not only went viral, but she was suddenly on national news networks and speaking at other Democratic Party events across the country. Here's why.
We are not responsible for the past. We also cannot change the past. We can't pretend that it didn't happen or deny people their very right to exist. I am a straight, white, Christian, married, suburban mom. I want my daughter to know that she is loved, supported, and seen for whoever she becomes. I want her to be curious, empathetic, and kind. People who are different are not the reason that our roads are in bad shape after decades of disinvestment, or that healthcare costs are too high, or that teachers are leaving the profession. I want every child in this state to feel seen, heard, and supported, not marginalized and targeted because they are not straight, white, and Christian. We cannot let hateful people tell you otherwise to scapegoat and deflect from the fact that they are not doing anything to fix the real issues that impact people's lives. And I know that hate will only win if people like me stand by and let it happen. So I want to be very clear right now. Call me whatever you want. I hope you brought in a few dollars. I hope it made you sleep good last night. I know who I am. I know what faith and service means and what it calls for in this moment. We will not let hate win.
Now, I played the conclusion of that speech because the reason it went viral, the reason it resonated with not only Michiganders, but with millions across the country, is because, and let's keep it real here, the country and the corporate media weren't used to hearing a Democrat go on the attack like Senator McMorrow did there. They weren't used to hearing a Democrat call out the blatant hypocrisy of the so-called Christian right, which, through their actions and policies, are anything but Christian. Like, for example, down in Texas, you've got the so-called Christian conservative Governor Greg Abbott ordering border officials to push migrant children and nursing babies back into the Rio Grande River. Oh, and the officers aren't even allowed to provide water to the children either. How is that acting Christian? Are those the actions that Jesus would preach? If so, please cite it in the Bible. Oh, and let's not forget how Abbott and his fellow Texas Republicans, remember, good Christian people, passed a bill removing water break protections for workers who are frying in the Texas heat. But again, those guys are the true Christians. We don't want to turn into states like Texas or Florida, which not only are oppressively hot, but are spreading their band of cruelty against those they don't deem to be the quote-unquote right kind of people. This podcast is trying to help ensure that Michigan never travels down the disastrous path of the Christian nationalist-like governments like the one that we are seeing in Texas or the one that we are seeing in Florida. I want Michigan to be the anti-Florida. I want Michigan to be the state which fights for her people, all people. We've got some strong progressive voices throughout the Democratic-led state legislature, and I'll say this again, I wish many in D.C. would take notes on how to argue for and pass popular policies that will help people, the kinds of policies we are seeing here in this state. And that's what this podcast is all about. It's about pressing a progressive message and standing up for not only what I believe in, but what millions of Michiganders not only believe in, but are fighting for. Many of us saw how 40 years of Republican rule in the state Senate, Republican rule for most of those 40 years in the state House, and the Engler and Snyder administrations bankrolled by DeVos family bucks led to a major disinvestment in our state. Education suffered, our infrastructure suffered massively, our environment suffered, businesses moved out, people moved out, and all that did to the Michigan Republican Party was make it more extreme, more cruel, and more fascist. I explained last week how the right-wing extremist Republican Party stands for nothing. It has only bigotry, fear, and anger to sell to its followers. I talked about Republican U.S. House candidate Tom Barrett, who is once again running for Democratic Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin's seat after losing to Slotkin last year. Slotkin, of course, is running for U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow's seat, with Stabenow retiring next year. Now, in his announcement video that I played for you last week, Barrett offered zero, nada, nothing. He offered no solutions to help all Michiganders. He just used right-wing fear and anger buzzwords like the border. Meanwhile, his likely Democratic opponent, Curtis Sertel, said the three things he's interested in bringing Michigan was a working-class tax cut, bringing supply chains back home to the state, and gun safety laws. You see, those are real solutions. That is a campaign plank. That is actually trying to tell people you want to help them, not screw them over. Those are real solutions. Shouting, "The border!" is not a solution. The Michigan Republican Party is so wacko crazy that their party committee meetings feature physical infighting with kicks to the balls. But as Senator McMorrow warned on MSNBC recently, their craziness is not something that we can just ignore and believe will lead to their eventual implosion here.
It's kind of instinct to sort of laugh and say they've reached the bottom of the bottom. But my advice to Democrats, and this is really key, is just remember how laughable it was when Donald Trump descended on an escalator and announced that he was running for president, or how laughable it was when the Access Hollywood tapes came out and we thought there's absolutely no way. We can't assume that the Republican Party is going to implode on itself. Right now, Governor Rick Snyder, who was the governor here in Michigan responsible for the Flint water crisis, is fundraising for state house Republicans. So they are trying to quietly take back their party through the state legislature. I feel like I've been a broken record for the past year. The state legislatures are the be-all, end-all. So yes, there's some ball kicking happening in some corners of the Republican Party, but we can't take our eye off of where it really matters and making sure we get good people into office.
No, you can't sleep on these Republicans, because no matter how crazy they may sound or seem, they are just one seat away from taking the state house and two seats from taking the state senate. And they're being bankrolled by big money led by Rick Snyder and his billionaire buddy, Bill Parfit. Now, I'd like to issue a quick clarification from last week's episode with State Representative Betsy Cafia. We were talking about the bigoted Traverse City salon owner who announced that she wouldn't serve transgender Michiganders. I mentioned how a hair products company said it would no longer offer its products to that salon. And I said to Representative Cafia that no matter what the right wing tries to do, the culture of acceptance and tolerance would win in the end. Here, you can listen to my question and Representative Cafia's response. And she nails it on the head here, so listen.
So I am coming to the conclusion here, Representative, that, and I think you'll probably agree with it, that no matter what the right-wing legislatures in other states might do, or whatever this right-wing Supreme Court majority does in the end, I think the culture will still set the standard. And that's where I think Democratic Senator Mallory McMorrow is correct when she says hate will not win, and when Governor Whitmer declares bigotry is bad for business in our state. And yeah, I really do hold that.
I hold that too. But at the same time, Pat, I will point people to, we have a single seat majority in House of Representatives. My district flipping and coming into the Democratic majority this past year by less than 800 votes helped deliver this one seat majority in Michigan for the legislature. Elections matter. And so it is our individual actions on a day-to-day basis as residents of Michigan to look out for each other. But make no mistake, we have to turn out and protect and defend that majority in 2024, because we could easily slide into some of these other states' situation if we lose a progressive majority who actually does want an accepting and welcoming Michigan. So we shouldn't take that for granted. They started spending against me in January of this year before I'd even found where to hang my coat. They were already running digital ads and mail, and they're doing so on all of us, the most sort of the front line, if you will, with the narrowest margin. So people should not sleep on 2024. It's incredibly important. If you want to see this progress, we have to show up, we have to invest, we have to work hard, and we have to build. Progress is not inevitable. It's really up to all of us.
I agree, of course, 100%, that we must put in strong progressive voices to support support marginalized Michiganders, and progressives like Representative Kefia have done and are doing just that. And I wasn't trying to sound like we don't need policies to protect, let's say, the LGBTQ plus community. I wasn't saying that at all. I was just saying that I think there is more of us than of them, and there are. However, that being said, as we've seen, Republicans everywhere are doubling down on the crazy, on the stupid, on the bigotry, and that is why we cannot just sit back and remain satisfied. The gains we've experienced are monumental, but fall asleep in just one or two districts, and Michigan Republicans are back to enact their form of Gilead in Michigan. If we're going to tout ourselves as the anti-Florida, we must back it with policies and we must back it with strong messaging. And we can only do that with big-time, strong progressives in office. I mean, why do you believe suddenly the right wing this week offered up recall language against five progressive House members such as Betsy Kefia of Traverse City, Sharon McDonnell of Troy, Jennifer Conlin of Ann Arbor, Reggie Miller of Belleville, and Jamie Churches of Wyandotte? I mean, where'd that come from? You see, the right wing can't win on ideas, so they will just try to throw someone out of office because they don't like them. I mean, why do right wingers all of a sudden want to recall Kefia and McDonald? Did they do something underhanded, like secure a nearly $7 million grant for a lake in Clare where a former aide lives? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was former Republican House Speaker Jason Wentworth. I'm sorry. Okay, so they didn't do that. What did Kefia and McDonald do? Did they try to kill puppies? Did they wear I Love Ohio shirts? Nope. They voted for progressive or common sense gun reform bills, including red flag laws. Kefia and McDonald voted in the House to allow for judges to issue a temporary order against a defendant who poses a risk to themselves or to others. Now, the bill that eventually passed both the House and the Senate allows family members, dating partners, current and ex-spouses, police, and mental health officials to ask a judge for an extreme protection order. And that's what the right wing is fighting against? They are recalling people who are just fighting to keep people alive? Then there's the recall of Conlin, who won, by the way, even though part of her district is in Livingston County. That was a huge victory for Democrats. So there's this recall of Conlin, Miller, and Churches. And the right wing is upset over their yes vote to expand Michigan's Hate Crimes Act to include violence against someone due to age, sexual identity, gender, and disability. I mean, look... I knew the right wing hates the LGBTQ plus community. I knew that. But they hate old people in general, too? Anna Liz Nichols of Michigan Advance reports that the person who filed the recall petition language against Representative Miller is Holly Valade, who lost the Republican primary in the 2022 election in the 31st district, which Miller ended up winning. Valade's campaign website says that she is a mother, a conservative, and a Christian who has become increasingly concerned for our country. Again, Ms. Valade, you can't claim to be Christian while acting anti-Christian. Today's Republican Party offers nothing for average working people except fear, anger, cruelty, bigotry. They have no ideas designed to help people like Representative Kefia has done by getting extra funding for school bus transportation for northern and rural districts, which on a yearly basis spend more on transportation costs. This will now free up money for schools in her northern district and all rural districts so that they can now spend on educational needs, on actual education needs. That, in the end, helps all of us. Representative Kefia is demonstrating real common sense and progressive leadership that is helping families, which again, ultimately helps all Michiganders. But that's why the right wing is trying to stop it. The right wing is against common sense. And so is Rick Snyder, which explains why he is working to put that crazy party back in power in Lansing. One group that's been staging the progressive fight in this state for a long time has been Progress Michigan. Sam Inglot from Progress Michigan is standing by to talk about a whole range of issues, and I cannot wait. So just hold on. You are listening to LOL.
It's the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. Need to give Pat a piece of your mind, or do you have some stories you think Pat should cover? Email him at leftoflansing@gmail.com. And if you have Michigan beer ideas for Pat, he'll love you even more. Now, here's Pat.
That That's right. I'm always in search of some good Michigan beer. So please email me leftoflansing@gmail.com and tell me which Michigan beers I should try out. And if you have any comments about this week's episode, all you have to do is, again, email me leftoflansing@gmail.com and we can continue the conversation there. You can also leave comments for me on Twitter, the Gram, Facebook, and now Threads. That's right. Okay, well, Attorney General Dana Nessel made some big news this week by announcing her office is charging those 16 Michigan Republicans who were part of that fake elector scheme in the 2020 presidential election. And it was a long time coming, but the day has finally arrived, I think, here for these people. Joining me to talk about that and about so many other issues here in our state is Sam Englott. Sam is the executive director with Progress Michigan. Sam, thanks a lot for being on.
Absolutely, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
What's Progress Michigan all about?
Sure. So Progress Michigan, we are a progressive advocacy organization, communications hub, and government watchdog group. Basically, easiest way to think about us, take equal parts progressive activist and PR communications professional and mash them together. And that's what you get with Progress Michigan.
And you guys have been around for
15 years.
Okay. I was about to say 20. So, okay. About 15 years. All right. Well, Sam, thanks again for being on. Look, we've got a lot to talk about, but did you think this day would come that we would get these 16 fake electors finally up on charges and that they will have to at least face something here when it comes to what they tried to do a couple of years ago?
You know, Pat, it's one of those things, and we said this in our statement, sort of responding to the news. We also clearly remember January 6th, right? The insurrection at the nation's capital, from the visceral scenes of violence like we've never seen before, the attack on the Capitol, the lawmakers huddled down, police being attacked. We all rightly remember that, right? But the thing that I think is really important for us to remember is that there was like an attempt at a quiet insurrection in a lot of ways prior to that, by these 16 folks and the Republican apparatus in general. We've seen accountability for the folks that attacked the Capitol on January 6th, you know, hundreds of indictments coming in there. And I think we're very grateful and lucky to have an attorney general like Dana Nessel, who didn't let that quiet insurrection go without accountability. The strange part about all of this is they did it in broad daylight. They advertised the fact that they were doing this. They showed up. They post about it on social media, and then they sent their fraudulent documents to the National Archives and Congress. They, you know, probably via certified mail. It was blatantly illegal, and I'm not surprised by the fact that Dana Nessel is charging these folks. It is one of those things where it's like, oh my gosh, like, that's right. This did happen. And it's great to see accountability finally happening. And it couldn't happen to a nicer group of people.
Well, I love the way you put this. You describe it as it was more of the quiet insurrection. And I just want to just go through this refresher just for those who may not exactly remember, but 16 Republicans, they met in the basement. Was it of the GOP Lansing's headquarters, Sam? Is that right?
Yep, right down the street from us, which is now vacant, I might add.
Okay. And they met there when Joe Biden's electors met at the state capitol to certify that, of course, he won all the electoral college votes here in the state. And if I remember off the top of my head correctly, I think Joe won by about 150,000 or so votes, somewhere around there, right? I think. So then you had these 16 Michigan Republicans sign these certificates claiming that they were the duly elected and qualified electors for the president and vice president when they were, in fact, like we just said, fake electors. And then, like you just said, Sam, they sent these certificates, these false certificates, to the U.S. Senate and the National Archives saying that Donald Trump had won Michigan. On top of all that, didn't some of these people, they try to get into the Capitol, the state Capitol that day with those fake documents, didn't they?
Yeah, on the north side of the Capitol, I believe there was an attempt to get in, which the state police rightfully denied. And again, Pat, like, they were proud of this fact.
Yeah.
They were not trying to hide it, you know? But the fact of the matter is, in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, people attacked our democratic institutions with mace and flagpoles. These folks attacked our democratic institutions with lies and shady legal tactics. Mm-hmm. Now, regardless of the tactics that they employed, both of those groups of people need to be held accountable. So it's great to see that that's actually happening now. And some big names on this list of people. And I think it really kind of goes to show some of the moral and ethical rot that has just permeated into the state Republican Party. Former co-chair Michonne Maddock is on the list. Stan Grott, Shelby Township clerk and former wannabe Secretary of State candidate, and other Republican Party officials, activists. I think there's some other elected officials in here. A big list of people and with big names, some very prominent people within the state party.
There really is this moral rot within the party. But Sam, they doubled down after the election by turning more Trumpian and more authoritarian and more extreme. I mean, it doesn't seem like anybody really feels like that what they did was wrong, and they just want to keep going that way.
Yeah, and it's not just around the election disinformation either, right? One of the things that we recently noted, you've got folks in the Republican House caucus like Steve Cara and Angela Regas, who most people would consider, you know, fringe MAGA elements, right? And they've been spreading a lot of disinformation around the LGBTQ community, particularly the transgender community, right? Mm-hmm. But now we're also seeing the House leader, Matt Hall, lifting up that same type of disinformation. So it used to be this point where there was a fringe element, if you will, to the Republican Party in Michigan. We now see that what would have been fringe element now in lockstep with leadership. And I'm just talking about the House Republican caucus here. But then you go to the top of the pyramid, Christina Caramo. I mean, I don't use that phrasing, the moral and ethical rot going deep. I don't use that lightly. At every level within the Republican Party, from the local level all the way to the top, we see this moral and ethical rot where truth does not matter, and they will bulldoze over anything to try to hold on to political power. And let's be clear, too, that's the reason that all this is happening, right? The reason that this quiet insurrection happened in Lansing in December after the 2020 election was because they didn't like the result of the election. And so they tried to bulldoze their way over it through these shady and illegal tactics. And it's the same thing that we're seeing when it comes to the disinformation around the LGBTQ community, right? They don't like the way that our country is becoming and our state is becoming more welcoming, more inclusive, more diverse. And so they use any tactics, including spreading outrageous lies about people who just want to live their lives with dignity and respect like anyone else, to try to hold on to that political power.
Sam, do they believe that despite the vote, even if they lose or even if they win, it doesn't really matter because they are on the right side and everybody else is wrong? Is that where they are?
It's probably a mix of things, right? One, I think the Republican Party and Donald Trump really, I think, perfected this. They prey on people's fears, uncertainties, and doubts. And they find the things that people care about, and they say that those things are under threat even when they're not. They leverage people's fear, and they leverage the things that people love. And a lot of people, I think, sadly, have kind of been duped and caught in an echo chamber by the rhetoric coming from the Republican Party. Then I think you certainly have an element of people who actually believe it. I think Christina Caramo actually believes the completely out of left field things that she espouses on a regular basis. And then I think you've also got folks who are interested in power and are interested in notoriety. And so they see this MAGA train and the disinformation fear train, and they know that they can get follows, get clicks, get clout, or climb their way up into the ranks of power within the party or within our legislature or any bodies of government, whether that be the local level on up. So I think it's a mixed bag. And it's certainly something that post Donald Trump, it's, well, I guess he may be coming back again. We'll see. But it's something we're going to be dealing with for a while. And that's why we have to continue to organize. We have to continue to spread the truth, and we have to keep Michigan on the trajectory it's going. Because, you know, Pat, we've fallen into the trap that I think a lot of progressives have, which I say is the dun 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 kind of conversation a lot of times. But like, there's a lot of really good things happening too, and we need to keep that momentum going because these folks aren't going anywhere. So we just have to out organize, out communicate, and outwork them.
Absolutely. And before we get to that, I just want to tell you something that I just noticed, and I wanted your thoughts on it. I was looking through the list of those who had been charged, and you already went through a couple of them, like Vashon Maddox and Kathy Burden, who is Michigan Republican National Committee woman. But I was looking at the ages of those 16, and here you go. It's 70, 72, 55, 75, 71, 82, 65, 56, 73, 55, 76, 64, 81, 69, 68, and 69. It seems like many of these people are it doesn't seem like it. They are older. And for some of them, getting sent to prison for what could be, I don't know, 14 years or more means that's pretty much where they're going to die. And it makes me wonder how these people could go down such a rabbit hole of lies and disinformation and grand conspiracies that their minds like truly believe they could really overturn this election for their guy. It's similar to how Fox News or corporate right-wing radio, which I was in for many years, is able to really swindle. And I'm going to say that too, swindle older people to really drink the Kool-Aid. And I've been arguing that some people are just lost down that rabbit hole and cannot be brought back from the cult. I was just wondering your viewpoint on that.
Well, one, from this list, this is true in all situations. You're never too old to make ghastly mistakes. That's for sure. Just the ages aside, I think that you've got probably a mix of that group of people that I was talking about earlier, right? Some true believers, some folks that got caught in the echo chamber. But at the end of the day, that doesn't excuse what they did. And certainly I would hope that folks that have been involved in politics for as long as clearly some of these folks have been would know better. You know, this is kind of an unprecedented situation that we're dealing with, as Attorney General Dana Nessel has clearly outlined, as far as the scheme that these folks allegedly undertook to try to overturn a fair, secure, and accurate election. That doesn't excuse them. It's good to see that they're getting held accountable. The part, though, that I'm also thinking about is the other things that are happening in Michigan that actually improve our elections, because these folks tried to bulldoze over our elections, right? But with the passage of Prop 2 last year and the other voting rights proposal before that, like, we're doing a lot of things to modernize and further secure and improve access to our elections at the same time.
Well, let's talk about that just a bit. It got a little undercovered, overshadowed, what have you. Due to the news that Attorney General Nessel made here this week. But Governor Whitmer did sign into law this week a bill expanding voting rights. And I was just wondering, you've touched on it a bit, but could you share a little bit more why this is such a big deal for Michigan voters? I mean, for me, I like the part that college students can use their student IDs to vote. And I especially like the part of the bill that grants local voting clerks the right to tabulate early in-person ballots around, I think, 8 days before Election Day. This not only will help us get faster results on election night, but I think, and more importantly, especially what we've been talking about here so far, it'll help dispel those pushing conspiracy theories because it's taking longer for clerks to count the votes.
Really what it was, Pat, was just cementing the will of the people in law. These were all implementation bills, right? Like the people of Michigan resoundingly voted once again to improve and expand voting rights in Michigan. And so all of these bills were just to really codify a lot of that in a way and provide guidance and resources to local election officials, like you said, so that this process, the processing of ballots, can happen in a more timely way, so that people have more days of early voting opportunities, and so people can apply to be on a permanent absentee voter list. So you don't have to go through the multiple steps of filling out the application. And all of this really just is a continuation of what we've seen over the past few cycles, which is Michiganders' unwavering desire to improve and modernize our elections. So, yeah, I agree. I think it got a little bit probably undercovered just because of some of the other major news that was happening. But this was essentially the legislature just acting on what we as voters did at the ballot box in 22.
Radical ideas and just trying to make voting easier. I just don't know if we can have that here in Michigan. Hey, Sam, I only have you for a couple more minutes, I know, and I appreciate it. I've been expressing frustration over this, and I was just wondering if you could give me your thought. I have said this before, that I get a little tired of some Lansing media figures. Not all, mind you, because there are some really good reporters in Lansing. But after Democrats got some common sense gun reform legislation passed this year and expanded the earned income tax credit for families, after they axed Rick Snyder's retirement tax, they gave power back to the workers by repealing right to work for less. Let's see what else. They expanded abortion rights. They expanded civil rights. They repealed Rick Snyder and the Republicans' environmentally damaging, no stricter than federal law. After all that, which were very popular, by the way, amongst the people, and if you look at the polls, I've heard some longtime Lansing media figures posit, are we getting to the point where Democrats are going too far? I've heard that a few times, and it always makes me, I don't say angry, but I don't know, flabbergasted, I guess. But I just can't understand how somebody could ask if Democrats are going too far, considering the state of today's Michigan Republican Party. It just drives me batty.
No one should really be surprised. I've called them really layups, right? The list of things, because those are things that we've been preparing and advocating for a decade. Repealing right to work, repealing the abortion ban, expanding Elliot Larson to include civil rights protections for the LGBTQ plus community. Those are things that people have been talking about and running on for as long as I've been around. I've been at Progress Michigan for 10 years. And these things, it was like finally getting the to-do list done after so long. Ultimately, no. I mean, I don't think that the legislature is going in too far of a direction. Plus, I'm a progressive. I'm now thinking, you know, what's next? Let's do polluter pay. Let's start to push the envelope on FOIA reform and lobbying reform. Yeah. Let's talk about repealing some of these anti-worker local preemption laws that make it so local communities can't have a different standard of wages and benefits to meet the needs of their community. Let's talk about what we can do with investing in affordable housing and putting some sort of controls on the outrageous cost of rent that we're seeing and the increasing cost of housing. So no, I don't think that the legislature is there. I think they're doing exactly what they promised in a lot of ways. And my mind, it goes to what's next. What's the next thing? Because ultimately what we're seeing are things that expand people's rights, enhance the social safety net, invest in public education. I'm thinking more of this, please. Let's keep doing this. Because ultimately, if the policies that are being passed are aiming to benefit working people, families, local communities, our environment, that's a rising tide that lifts all boats.
Wow. All right. That is the second straight week I've heard that same phrase said here on the podcast. Last week, State Representative Betsy Cafia also said that her policies are always designed to help lift all boats. And it's hard to argue against that. Sam, I have you just for one more question, and it's a bit more on the local side of things. I mean, I've been covering this on my podcast here for the past few weeks, that while progressives, like you've been noting, have been scoring some major wins here on the state level, it's been the right wing that's been scoring some pretty big wins, I'd say, on the local level. I've covered the right-wing movement that's happening in Livingston and Ottawa County commissions, for example. And I saw a University of Michigan survey which showed that most local government leaders lean Republican here in the state. We obviously have some great local progressives in those counties and counties across the state that are doing some remarkable work to highlight these extreme county commissions. But in your mind, is there more that progressive groups can be doing maybe on an organization level to place more importance on local politics?
I've got sort of an interesting view of this because we field a lot of emails and phone calls from folks that are doing local organizing work, whether that's, you know, a small group of parents that are pushing back on some reactionary policies around book bans or DEI or LGBTQ inclusion in their schools, and just a litany of other localities and levels of government. And I think I look at like Ottawa Impact. That's a situation where we are supporting an appeal to a lawsuit where it's a Open Meetings Act transparency style kind of lawsuit where Ottawa Impact commissioners basically decided to reshape county government behind closed doors.
And Ottawa Impact, they're very right wing commissioners there, right? Yes. That's what that group is. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, most definitely. And obviously, I think that caught a lot of people by surprise. There was a little bit of like whiplash, like, whoa, what just happened? You know, and that's not just including some of the underhanded, non-transparent tactics that we believe they employed. You know, now I know a lot of local organizing from progressives happening in Ottawa County. So there has been a response. Mm-hmm. And like I said, where we see this, whether it's a local school board, a county commission, you know, I'm hearing from groups like Equality Michigan. I'm hearing from the ACLU, from AFT Michigan and MEA and our allies in the labor education space. And there is pushback happening. There is organizing happening. Coming full circle back to some of the points I made earlier on in this conversation, we are in a long-term fight here. So it's not a matter of, you know, just flipping a switch and then all of a sudden we've got, you know, the progressive future we all want. It's a long-term fight, and it's going to happen with some small fronts and some really big battles. And I think that's why it's just important that folks, one, don't get discouraged when it comes to maybe what's happening in your local community, because understand that, like, one, it doesn't have to be this way. If you're not happy with the direction of how your community is going, you can and do have the power to change that. And then expand your look outward. See what other folks are doing. See what they're doing in Ottawa. See what they're doing, you know, across the rest of the state. And reach out. Take note. Feel free to reach out to Progress Michigan as well. We're always happy to, you know, give folks some communication advice when it comes to how to handle disinformation locally or pushing back against right-wing extremism, gearing some folks up with communications-based trainings and things like that. So yeah, there was a little bit of a right-wing Republican groundswell at some of the local level. But again, we see a lot of really progressive change happening at the state level. And I'm confident that that's the direction we're going to continue to go in. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen one election at a time. Some of these things don't even have to do with anything with elections. It has to do with just getting neighbors together, talking about these things, going to your local school board meetings, getting involved in your local community. Ultimately, that's how we're going to create a groundswell of change that will create the futures we want in our local communities.
Well put. Sam, if people would like to learn more about Progress Michigan, how can they do so?
Yeah, you can check us out at progressmichigan.org. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We'd love to have you come and check out our social media, sign up for our email list and support the work that we do and check out some of the fun we have on the internet.
Sam Inglot, Executive Director of Progress Michigan. Don't be a stranger. Come on back sometime soon, okay?
Will do, Pat. Thank you.
A podcast devoted to intelligence, sanity, and freedom, or otherwise known as progressive politics. It's Left of Lansing with your host, Pat Johnston. Need to tell Pat where he's wrong? Or do you actually want to praise Pat? Leftoflansing@gmail.com is how to reach him. Here's Pat.
Thanks again to Sam Inglot of Progress Michigan. I'll post a link to their site along with their Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Thread accounts as well. And you can follow me and some of my thoughts on Twitter, the Gram, Facebook, and the Thread, as I've already said. Isn't it lovely, by the way, that we are all at the mercy of egotistic multi-billionaires when it comes to social media? How grand. I have to say that Sam used a great word to describe what's hopefully awaiting the 16 Michigan Republicans that Attorney General Nessel is now charging, and that word is accountability. I can't tell you how right-wing talk focused on personal accountability, personal responsibility during the Obama years. I had to hear that over and over and over again. And then those same people voted for Donald Trump and bought all the snake oil that he was selling. But now they have to face the consequences, and they will be held accountable for their actions. It's all about personal responsibility. Time now for a Left of Lansing last call. I was talking with Sam about how it is kind of impossible to take Michigan Republicans seriously at all. I mean, they are not about the facts. They aren't about helping people. I mean, they've turned into some real-time right-wing email chain or comment section on Twitter. They have nothing to offer except doubling down on the crazy. Anna Gustafson from Michigan Advance, who will be on next week's episode, by the way, reported this week that Republican legislators have introduced bills that would increase access to firearms and address privacy concerns with gun sales. In a press release issued this month, according to Gustafson, State Representative Gina Johnson of Lake Odessa urged lawmakers to support two of her bills standing up for the rights of lawful gun owners in Michigan. So, what's in these bills that Gina Johnson wants to become law? Well, here you go. One bill would allow people to carry concealed weapons on college campuses, which is just a brilliant idea right after the MSU shooting. And what could possibly go wrong allowing concealed weapons on a college campus? Maybe we can have showdowns between teachers and students, or duels between students, or better yet, when there is an actual shooting, police won't know who the real shooters are because everyone will be shooting each other. And I do find it remarkable that Republicans trust students to carry guns, but not to vote. The other bill that Johnson is pushing would create the Second Amendment Financial Privacy Act. That act would prohibit banks and credit card companies from requiring Michigan retailers to use specialized codes to flag firearms purchases. Johnson says this will prevent government groups like the IRS from accessing a person's firearm purchase and using it for political purposes. Is that really a thing? Is the IRS really going after gun owners? But does it help law enforcement track down weapons used unlawfully? Well, does it, Representative Johnson? Oh, and don't forget the aforementioned State Senator Lana Thice, who wants to make it easier for someone to carry a gun without a permit in the state. Republicans have no grasp on reality in general, but especially when it comes to gun violence, and it's partially why they lost the last elections, but they continue to double down on it. And that's despite the fact, as Gustafson notes in her story, a 2019 study in the Journal of Trauma and Acute Care Surgery found there was a 70% reduction in mass shootings during the United States ban on assault weapons from 1994 through 2004. Federal lawmakers allowed that ban to sunset in 2004. And we have George W. Bush to thank for that. Now, while Republicans believe more guns and easier access to guns will lead to lower gun violence, Democrats are acting responsibly. Democrats are acting with common sense. And Democrats not only passed some common sense gun reforms earlier this year, but they're coming back with more common sense reforms, such as, according to Gustafson, State Senator Stephanie Chang from Detroit, who is, by the way, a friend of this podcast, and State Representative Amos O'Neill out of Saginaw plan to introduce legislation that would ban people convicted of domestic violence misdemeanors from possessing firearms until a now unspecified number of years after they completed their jail or probation terms and paid any related fines. A bill like that, everyone, not only makes sense, it saves countless lives and it also reduces injuries. And that's the difference between progressives and the right wing. Progressives are fighting to save lives, and especially the lives of women and children, while Republicans don't give a damn about your lives or your kids' lives. They care more about the gun than they do about human beings. Oh, Republicans claim they're all pro-life. But you know better.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan. It's Pat Johnston.
That'll do it for this episode of The Left of Lansing. Come back again next week when I interview Michigan Advance reporter Anna Gustafson. She did a great and comprehensive story on the Goshen electric car battery plant that'll soon be built just outside of Big Rapids in Mecosta County. This plant has become quite a controversial topic as the right wing is focused on how Goshen's parent company is based in China. So we'll talk all about that and some other stories that Ms. Gustafson's been covering with Michigan Advanced on next week's episode. Thanks again to Sam Inglot from Progress Michigan for being on this week. And once again, thank you to Attorney General Dana Nessel for holding those 16 Michigan Republican fake electors accountable for their actions. Have to say, it's extremely nice to see Michonne Maddock, the former co-chair of the state GOP, finally being held accountable. And I wouldn't be surprised if she turns on Lord Trump once prison time begins staring her in the face. And I'll give Progressive Democratic State Representative Noah Arbit from West Bloomfield the final word this week when he tweeted, "Seeing someone who has been calling me a groomer and a pedophile every day since I took office, now being charged with multiple felonies by the Attorney General for conspiring to commit election fraud, is a special kind of schadenfreude. Hope you have a good lawyer, Michonne Maddock." Well said, State Representative Arbit. Well said. Remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan.
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston. Written by Pat Johnston. Researched by Pat Johnston. Edited by Pat Johnston. And hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.